There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Do these pants make my rear end look too big? Do you think I screwed them over on selling them that? I mean, do you think I was fair? I told them the truth, right? Don't you think that sounded like the facts, the truth? All the time, we ask questions that are ridiculous and stupid. If you have to jump up and down to get the pants on, lay down on the bed and hold your breath to get them zipped and buttoned up, and then roll off the bed, sort of, to stand up, chances are the pants are too small. So why ask somebody, do these pants make my rear end look big? Because you already know your rear end is significantly bigger because of the efforts it took to just get the pants on. If you know that you sold something for more than it's worth, if you know that you misrepresented it, even just a little bit when somebody bought it, and it's really not exactly what you led them to believe, why do you need to ask somebody if you took advantage of them, if you screwed them in a deal? It's in like new condition. It's an excellent condition. Well, nothing's perfect. I did have a little repair done. That's not like new. That's not excellent. That's used with some work done. Why do you need to share your decisions of what you've done to make it okay? That it's all right, it's not that bad? We're all experts at doing this to ourselves. I don't know what poet it was, but they made a statement one time he was talking about just mankind, people in general all over the world, if we didn't have the ability to deceive ourselves, we would be very disappointed on who we are. And tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about who we are. everybody likes to acknowledge that, and they hear, God's love is endless. Yes, yes, praise Jesus. Amen, brother, amen. God's love has no limits, no boundaries. Praise Jesus. Amen, brother, amen. Grace can fix and heal everything. Grace cures all. Praise Jesus. Amen, amen. We love to hear that because it sounds really great. Yet, we seem to have a lot of limits and a lot of boundaries. We've talked about distractions. We've talked about being in our own way. We've talked about acknowledging grace, seeing grace in our day-to-day lives. But frankly, it doesn't seem to be working real well for a lot of you that listen to this show. And perhaps it's because we need to address exactly who we are, what we do, and why we do it, and exactly how we see ourselves. See, part of the humbling process is realizing that you're really not that great of a person. Part of the humbling process is that we've all sinned, we're all sinning this week, and more than likely, we're going to do really dumb things next week. And we're not as happy as what we convince ourselves. And we're not as good of a friend as what someone thinks we are. Because when you really, really peel yourself away like an onion, layer after layer after layer, and you come to terms with who you are and the person that nobody sees, nobody really knows, because you know if they did, you wouldn't get as much affection and friendship as you do now. That's the person you have to come to terms with. That's the person you have to acknowledge, because until you acknowledge something, until you can see something, what's the mathematical odds? What's the likelihood that you're going to fix it, change it, eliminate it, and go a different direction? Because, Jim, tonight we're going to talk about how we see ourselves, but more importantly, what we don't see and how that really keeps us from using what Jesus is given to us, correct?
Yeah, that's
try again.
Check 1 2 3
there we go.
I didn't push all the buttons.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, that's really good. I know that in Paul's life, there's something that he said over in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and chapter 12. He talked about when he is weak, that's when he is strong. In fact, God brought him that revelation that when you're weak, that's when I'll make you strong. Well, it kind of goes to the same thought here. When we're unaware of our weaknesses, when we're not willing to actually plumb the depth of where we actually really live, see ourselves for who we are, how then can you turn toward the Lord and allow Him to be able to do something in your heart when you're not willing to allow your heart to be seen even by yourself? And remember now, this isn't about self-help. You know, this isn't let's go back into your past and discover, you know, all the intricacies of why you are what you are, and then let's one by one begin to just make progress with this. You know, that's not what we're trying to say here tonight, because the wonderful work of Jesus in a person's life comes as we begin to surrender our heart to Him. And that surrender is part of recognizing who you really are. I like a scripture I'm looking at, and it helps when you see somebody actually articulate this in the scripture, and that's Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, 1, and he says, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light." I got to get the rest of that. I don't know why it's not going. There it goes. "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." So these are some of these words that Paul just used right here, the reveal the counsels of the heart, the hidden things of darkness. Knowing yourself. Boy, what a good way to be able to turn toward the Lord when you recognize who you really are. And I think this, BJ, as we were talking earlier, is one of the things that people really, in a sense, don't want to do.
No, and it's...
They're afraid, don't you think?
Well, they say that the majority of fear is just fear of the unknown. You know, people will be afraid of all kinds of things, but then once they do it, it becomes familiar. It's not a big deal.
Right.
Whatever it is, from a carnival ride to climbing a tree to not knowing anybody at a dinner party. The reality of things is that we don't have the skills to really set aside who we are. Remember before the show I was talking about the intruder?
Yeah.
The number one thing to do if your house is being invaded or broken into is the first thing you do is you darken the whole property. You turn off all those security lights, all the porch lights. You make sure there's no night lights on in the bathroom. If you have an aquarium, you turn the aquarium light off so you completely darken your entire home. There isn't one speck of light in your home. Why? Because the person that's trying to get in your house, they don't know where the coffee table is, the hallways, the doors, where the furniture is. They're really at a handicap. And if they turn a flashlight on, they give their position away. But you, it's your home. You bought that furniture. You clean it. You sleep on it. You've scratched the coffee table. Even though your house is pitch dark, you can navigate and maneuver because you have some familiarity with the terrain, with your house. You might stumble, you might have to go slow, but you know where everything is. It's not going to be a surprise. So that's a great tactical advantage to the homeowner and a great tactical disadvantage to the person coming into the home.
Right.
Now take that same philosophy and apply it to Scripture. You read the Bible, you've memorized Scripture, you've praised God, but you have no ability to navigate without the lights on. It isn't really familiar to you because you haven't put it into practice.
Right.
So really, what real skill set? How can you recall? If you break your arm or you've sprained your fingers and you want to tie your shoes, you can still figure out a way to tie your shoes because you've been tying your shoes with the same knot your entire life. So you could be hanging upside down from a tree branch and you could tie your shoelaces. But if you've never had shoes that had laces and they were always slip-ons,
right,
you're at a loss because you have no history. You have no memory. most people have no memory, no history of what no limits and no boundaries really means.
Right. Right.
It sounds wonderful. Yeah, God's love is endless. God's love is glory. Yeah, grace is can do anything. It sounds great. But in their own lives, what do they really have to compare that to? What is endless? What is limitless? And since they can't come to terms, if they can't acknowledge, if they can't tap into their own soul and their own spirit and recognize it and communicate with themselves, honestly, what likelihood are they going to have contacting the Holy Spirit? How would they do that? How could you jump over your own spirit to tap into to Christ's spirit?
Yeah, I mean, this is really touching in a big way the whole humbling thought, isn't it? Because humbling is about recognizing where you're at and your need and your desire for help and for your desire for the Lord to begin to move in your life.
And that is, that can be difficult for some people because their whole lives are filled with paint scratch.
Escape clauses and stuff?
Well, just excuses.
Yeah.
You know, you scratch your car, you can get some paint and match it and cover it. You scratch the coffee table, buy some furniture repair stuff. If you burnt your arm, well, nobody will know you're burnt if you always wear long sleeve shirts. There's no real coming to terms anymore. Mm-hmm. There's always a way to deny it, to cover it up, or ignore it. And we learn this as kids from our teachers and our parents and our older siblings. We learn how to make excuses, how to cover things up, and not be accountable, not to address things head on. And folks, everything about God's love and going to heaven is nothing but head on. It is. There's no roundabout way to get there. I mean, you don't have a, it's not like having a backstage pass at a rock concert. No, you got to go right through the front doors.
Right.
And people just, they don't have that.
Well, you know, I'm not going to give all the scriptures right one after the other right here, but there's a lot of scripture that I have sitting before me about hidden things, about Paul talking about his conscience and being sincere. And if there's that much addressing it, what's it saying but that people are struggling to actually experience it?
Well, you pick two of them. I'm going to tell people how to email the show.
Okay.
The email of the show, it's the name of Jim's radio show, The Abiding Presence. It's all one word, no spaces, no capital letters, The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, the first word that you have to type in your text message is the word grace. After you type the word grace and you press the send button, there's no one. There's not even an area code. It isn't seven numbers. It's only 569302. That's 69302. You can find the email address and the text message address and how to do those things on the contacts page of the radio show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com. Today's date is the 10th of March, 2015. And for those of you who, well, actually, we're going to have a little bit of an issue at 9 o'clock because people in other countries, they don't change their clocks.
You know, Phoenix didn't change.
Right. So there are going to be people tonight who log on at 9 o'clock, and they're going to wonder why the show's rocking and rolling.
Hmm.
So I'm going to save what I was going to say for another 40 minutes. Okay, did you find some passages?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of them. I mean, Romans 2:16 says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:13, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. 2 Corinthians 4:2 says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." One more, Hebrews 4:13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." I mean, all these scriptures are showing us that really and truly it's very possible, very highly likely that people have areas of their life that maybe they don't even investigate, that they keep hidden. And these are the kind of things that have been forgiven. God's already in Christ forgiven all sin, but these are the kind of things that hold people back, the kind of things that keep people from being able to have a progression in their relationship with God.
Sometimes you're listening to somebody talk. Sometimes you're watching a television show or you're watching a movie. And you literally can't listen and you can't watch because the person is saying or doing something that humiliates or embarrasses you. It just kind of, you just go, oh, I just see where this is going. This is bad. The reason we have those feelings is it's kind of an acknowledgement, been there, done that, have the t-shirt ourselves. That's an indicator that we have sympathy and empathy because we know what it's like to say those things and have that outcome. It's what I like to call guilty knowledge. And we all have that on some level. Now, while you're thinking about that, we got some text messages. It says, "BJ, last week you were going to talk about scheduling and planning and never got to it. Will you touch on that? Thank you." Do you know what they're talking about?
No.
I don't either. Scheduling and planning what? They'll have to elaborate. Maybe in an email, not a text.
Yeah.
Then we have another one here. It says, "Looking forward to Jim coming to New Jersey this weekend. Rob and Dorothea." Is that business card Rob?
No, business card Bob.
Oh.
And
Dorothea is the one who makes the, what do you call that stuff?
It's her sister that makes.
Oh, it's the sister?
Diane makes the butter crunch.
Dorothea doesn't do anything for us?
Well, she sets up the whole meeting.
Messing with Dorothea. You know, I was just messing with Dorothea.
Dorothea's the one that always writes about the Wednesday night show. If it's not working, she'll write in and say, "Hey, we weren't hearing it. It wasn't on."
Good for her.
She's keeping me on my toes.
We got some emails. We got an email here that came in a couple of hours before the show started. It says, "Looking forward to another great show tonight. I want to say hi to Helma. We had fun talking about last week's show where you had a visit from the skunk. Ha, 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 ha. This is Esther from Amersfoort, the Netherlands." I wonder if they have skunks in the Netherlands.
Yes, sure they do.
They do?
I'm sure, yeah.
I'll find out. We got one here. It says, "Hello, guys." And, oh, wow, Lady Ranger. Wow, Ranger's sacked out sleeping. "Hello, guys and Lady Ranger. After hearing you, BJ, talking about Rice Krispie cookie treats, decided we needed some while we listened to the show tonight. Thank you, while we enjoy. Look forward to tonight's subject." You know who this is? Grandpa and Grandma out of Morgan Hill, California. There they go. Wow, he's a little hard on the clutch.
Gonna say he's,
well, he's, you know,
got a heavy hand there, doesn't he?
Well, he's a little fired up. You know, carbohydrates will do that. Snap, crackle and pop. Snap, crackle and pop. My favorite heroes, the Rice Krispie guys.
Right.
You know, they've got one of those tricycle Harleys. And it's got like those storage compartments.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Saddlebag kind of things.
Yeah, they got Rice Krispie squares. They got their, you know, grandpa's got his squirrel gun in there. Grandma's got her squirrel food. See, that's kind of a symbiotic relationship. Grandma feeds the squirrels, and grandpa shoots at them.
That's good. I like it.
I'm sure on some level that could be questionable behavior. I don't know, but I'm, you know, just a simple observation, not trying to, you know, rock the boat. Okay, we got an email here. It says, "Hey, Jim, BJ and Ranger, got a question already. I feel like a lowlife all the time, and it's hard to pray because I feel worthless and God owes me nothing. How do I find a balance in this?" And it says, "Thanks."
Well, first of all, I mean, for me, I mean, I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. But as far as why would you be feeling worthless? Are you talking about you're struggling with your relationship? You're not going as far as you'd like, and so you're feeling bad about it. You're not making progress that you'd like to make. I mean, is this kind of what we're assuming?
I think it refers to the fact of a previous path of life.
Okay, well, you know,
similar to me in certain ways. I mean, you know, I think what they're trying to say is that they're coming to grips and terms with what they did and didn't do in the past.
Okay.
and who they were and the repercussions of it. That's what I'm taking from that question.
Yeah, but you know, even for tonight in the subject matter, you know, coming to understand who or your traits, the way that you do what you do, who you really are, that's not for us to wallow around in pity and and despair and feel bad about ourselves. The Bible shares with us very specifically, and it's a very, very important truth. You know, when Adam sinned, the thing that he ended up feeling was he said he felt afraid. And he couldn't, and he actually went away from God, not toward God. Well, he had condemnation. Condemnation will keep you from a relationship, not bring you to it. And Paul talks about in Christ, because all sins are forgiven, that all condemnation is gone. So recognizing your past, recognizing who your habits or traits that might not be necessarily good, is a point for you to turn toward the Lord. That's where the repent comes, and that's where the grace begins to take over.
I look at it this way, is what are you doing now? What are you doing today? You shouldn't focus and dwell on the past. It serves no good, but you don't want to repeat history either. And so I look at it like that old, I don't even know if they still make it or not, a teeter-totter. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a teeter-totter is?
I do, yeah.
Folks, a teeter-totter is a wooden board that is divided by 50%, and one kid is high in the air and the other kid is low, and they bounce each other up and down through leverage, fulcrum, gravity. And the thing to think about is For all the years that perhaps you don't like about yourself, let me just make it simple. For all the years you were bad, start logging time on the other side of the teeter-totter, on the other side of the balance scale. Start putting positive things in there and focus on that, because that's, you've humbled yourself. You know what a little turd you are, what a jerk you are, and you've humbled yourself. Fine. Now, focus on the fact that you are consciously choosing not to repeat history. That the habits of old that you maybe are ashamed of or embarrassed of, you are now replacing them with habits that you can be proud of and say something about your change. And when you do that, that's when grace swoops down in and say, "Hey, sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride. Grace is here. This is my job." Because as long as you still dwell in the past, as long as you still focus on the past, you don't even acknowledge the present, let alone can make positive plans for the future. And so it's fine that you've been hard on yourself, but now it's time to be easy on yourself and to break new ground.
Yeah.
To go a new direction. And look, you weren't bad overnight. You just kept snowballing into decisions and lifestyles and things. It was a slow, and all of a sudden you look 5 or 10 years down the line and you say, man, have I really gone deep in this? Well, it's the same with Christianity, with having a relationship with God. You start by certain small things, like listening to this show, reading scripture, spending time with different people, and doing the direct opposite of what you've done earlier in your life. And before you know it, you'll look back 5 or 10 years and you'll say, man, am I a different person
right
than I was then?
Do you think there's any truth to the fact that years ago, just the way society was, it was more acceptable for people to be more open and to be more transparent than today, where people have more things to hide behind?
No, I think it's the direct opposite.
Really?
Yeah, I think no, it's the complete opposite. Think of it. People used to hide their divorces, lie about being pregnant. You would never, ever tell anybody that you had an abortion. You wouldn't let anybody know that you were dishonorably discharged from the military. You didn't want anybody to know that you did drugs or pornography. It's just the opposite. Every generation, about every 10 years, every decade, we are more open and more acceptable to what used to be atrocities. It's the opposite.
Hmm.
We're more accepting. I mean, nobody thinks nothing about being divorced and married 3 times. Oh, you're too old. It's too financially unfeasible. Yeah, go ahead, get an abortion. You shouldn't be pregnant. They pass condoms out to kids instead of teaching them you really shouldn't be touching each other like that for years. Instead of eliminating drugs from coming into this country, what do? Provide healthy needles for drug addicts,
mm-hmm.
to make it easier and healthier and safer to use something that is detrimental to you and anybody you come in contact with. So see, we're not more, we're less. We're more open with what is wrong and more acceptable with what's wrong. Because just 1 or 2 generations ago, it was the opposite. People hid all of these kind of things because they weren't socially acceptable.
Right.
See, I'm just giving you my point of view. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got an email here that came in. It says, oh, this is to Ranger. It says, hey, Ranger, congratulations on a smooth start tonight. You know, we had technical problems. It says, I got your text message and appreciate the fact it's difficult working with the team you have.
Wow.
Wow. We just got insulted.
Yeah.
It says, shout out to all the new listeners. All the best. Breakfast Ed.
Hmm.
So obviously, Breakfast Ed likes Ranger, my dog, and really doesn't think much of me and you.
He thinks we must be kind of pulling it down a little bit.
I don't know.
Knocking down the degree of where this show could maybe go.
You know, I think instead of Breakfast Head, I'm going to call him Brunch Head just because. Give him a demotion. He's not good enough for breakfast. He's now Brunch. Brunch Head. Just well, like stinky Mulligan Stew. No, that was Breakfast Ed, everybody. Apparently, once again, the dog is sending out. See, we don't know what message leaves the barn. When you text the show, apparently you get a text back from the system. Hmm. And Ranger is, my dog is sending text messages to people.
Huh.
All right, we got an email here. It came in 3 minutes ago. It says, you can read this on the show. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. This is Hadassah Winters, sister of Julian Winters from New York, Whitesboro, from New York.
Holland Patton listening with my brothers Morgan, Cody, and Steven, enjoying the topic tonight. And it says, wanted to share an experience I had with Grace this week. On Sunday, one of my brothers, who's married, had invited me to stay with them for several days this week, starting Wednesday. I had accepted his invitation, but that night I remembered I had an appointment with our nutritionist on Wednesday, late afternoon. I don't have my license yet, so he was going to pick me up at noon. We are all homeschooled, so it would have been too difficult for Mom to take me. Monday morning, I reminded my mom about the appointment when we were doing devotions, and about half an hour later, we got a call from the nutritionist's office asking if we could move the appointment to Tuesday instead. I just thought it was so cool. So, homeschooled.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about these people. See, it's neat what we learn in these.
Yes.
We just got one here. It says, so what is it you would like, BJ? This is from Dorothea. See, that's the way it goes. You make an innocent comment and all of a sudden. So now Dorothea is wondering what I would. You know, honestly, you know what I would like, Dorothea? I would just like it if what Jim has presented, if just a smidgen of it, just a smattering, a frog's hair of it, made it back to the barn once in a while. I hear about these glorious things in New Jersey and how he's showered with gifts and surprises and just none of it ever hits the barn. So what would I like? I would just like a sampling, just maybe once, of just some of the glorious things that Jim receives when he's out there fellowshipping with all of you that just never seem to. No, I promised myself I wasn't. Oh, I just wish I had something. Was that good?
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, the girl asked the question. I'm just doing due diligence, serving the needs of a listener.
We got Dorothea, you just kind of fed right into the monster there.
We got monster. What would I like? I would just like him to look at me as a regular person and not a monster.
Oh, gee.
We got another text here. It says, think Breakfast Ed was just acknowledging what Rager had told him. See, now we got piling on. You know what kind of pile that is?
Yeah.
Dog pile. That was good, wasn't it? All right, we got another email here. It says, oh, I'm going on a mission to the Bahamas. They told us we didn't have to have our shots. What are your thoughts on immunizations? We worm the horses here on the ranch. Oh, no, she's not.
Not talking about worming.
You don't need to have a wormer if you go to the Bahamas?
I don't think so. Tetanus shot, probably, and things like that.
I don't know. I can't go to the Bahamas because I understand there's no roads. You can't get there by pickup truck, can you?
No.
Then BJ and Ranger aren't gone. I don't know. What are my thoughts on immunizations? I'm not a big fan of drugs. I'm really not. And for many reasons. And most of the reasons I'm not a big fan of drugs has nothing to do with my relationship with the guys. It's just spending over 30-something years dealing with drugs and animals. I don't know. Jim, you travel. I can't speak intelligently to this. I'm not a traveler. I don't know what the rules are. Are there rules? Do you have to have shots before you go places?
Yeah, a lot of times on the missions trips, they'll ask them to at least get tetanus shots or things like that, you know, some of the basics to make sure they're caught up on them before they go, just as a precaution. But you know, it's all a worldly precaution. And if you're with a team of people that are going to go, and that's part of what you have to do in order to go, then go ahead and do it. I mean, what does it matter? If you're going by yourself and your convictions are you don't need any of that, then go.
I've never had a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say you get a tetanus shot if they give you stitches.
Yeah, I mean, if you get cut or something really bad or something like that, sometimes they'll give you that.
I've had stitches, but either I would stitch myself or I'd have a you know, somebody else stitch me up, a vet or, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I'd just walk somebody through and I'd say, look, this is how you stitch me up, so just stitch me up. This is probably, this email just came in 1 minute ago, and it's probably one of the best, Jim, it's probably one of the best emails that has ever been sent to us.
Okay, so I don't really know how to take that, so please read it.
What do you mean you don't know how to take
it? Well, I'm just anxious to see if there's a twist to what you said. Go ahead.
It's from somebody named Lauren.
Okay.
And it says, BJ, one time at a meeting, I asked Jim if you needed any treats, and he said you already had enough. Wow.
Yeah.
So now the cow's eating the cabbage. See, the truth is coming out.
Well, you know, if that's Lauren from the meeting that's coming up in New Jersey, it's probably because I already had all kinds of things from Diane and Dorothea to take back to you. And so I said, well, we probably don't need any more because it would have been hard to even bring them. Sometimes I got to bring like a shopping bag from New Jersey back. It's the only way that it'll fit. Well, I know you're not saying anything, and it's totally okay.
We have another email here. It says, hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, we're glad that your time is once again in sync with us here in Trinidad. Oh, Trinidad, Antarctica. Boy, I bet it's cold down there. It says, Wendell and Stacy Millett here in Trinidad, listening live again. Good night to all who logged on listening to the program. We're really glad that we're really glad that Pepe Le Pew is not in the barn tonight. P.S., temperature in Trinidad is 26 degrees Celsius, partly cloudy. Oh, my God, it's 26 degrees below zero.
Really?
Yeah, in Trinidad. And folks are talking, last week we had a skunk in the barn. Jim's eyes were watering. He had his shirt pulled over his nose and mouth like he was going to rob a bank.
I left my clothes out all night long.
Are you serious?
The back porch, yeah, just to detox them.
No, did you really do that?
Yes,
because you thought it smelled that bad.
Oh, I could smell it for sure.
You mean when you got home, you could smell the skunk smell on your clothes?
You know what picks up the smell faster than anything? This neoprene whatever stuff, you know, that's like a. It's the same thing that happened that first time. I had to throw that one away. This one wasn't as bad, but. It just
picks
up the odor.
You're telling me you threw something away because it smelled like skunks?
The first skunk that we had a couple years ago.
Why didn't you call me? It takes less than a minute to get the skunk smell out of anything.
Huh.
Why? See, folks, if he's willing to throw away his own possessions, is it no wonder things just never make it to the barn?
Yeah, right.
All right, folks, tonight we're talking about you. Well, we're talking about us, but I mean, it's about you personally and how you deal with yourself, how you cope with who you are, and what do you cover up? How do you lie to yourself? How do you deceive yourself? And this isn't something that you talk about with your family or that you talk about with your friends. It's when you go in your room tonight and you're laying in your bed, just start thinking about who you really are and what you really think and do and how you cover it up. How you ignore it. Exactly. How are you kidding yourself? Because until you come to terms with who you are and realize that you're just not that special of a person, that you've done wrong, at that moment, you are open, you're frail, you're weak, and that's where grace can swoop in and build you up and fortify you with God's love, and that's where the repenting, where you change direction. But until you have that personal accountability. Until you open yourself up to yourself, where is there room for grace?
You know, a different way of saying the same thing. This past weekend at Pastor David Kramer's church out there in Phoenix area, actually Chandler, Arizona, there were so many people that were healed instantly in the services. And, you know, some of the ones that actually came up, I remember this, one of the ladies came up with ringing in the ear, and she said, I said, so what is it? Do you also have something wrong with your ear? She said, oh my goodness. She said, I've got ringing in the ear, like really bad. And that's how she said it to me. And so because she made such an emphasis of saying how bad it was, I looked at her and I said, is it really bad right now? And she kind of had that dog look. Excuse me. And she said,
take
you
a
know,
drink.
I did. She said, you know, I don't know. Let me check. Excuse me. And the moment she began to check, instantly everything was gone. She testified later that night, same thing. She's been wonderfully healed the whole time. Excuse me. Another lady, she came, and everybody was standing in a line to be prayed for. And when I got to her, she was sitting down in a chair. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, I'm full of arthritis. And she said, I'm really bad off. And I said, are you that way right now? Are you sure it's there? And then she looked at me with kind of a question in her mind and heart, because she opened her mind and heart. And she said, well, no, it's not there right now. And I said, why don't you run around the room? Something she hasn't done in years. And she started running all around the room. And with tears of joy, just literally began to just praise the Lord and be so thankful because it all disappeared. You know, the moment you open your heart, the moment you open your mind to who you are, that's the moment that the grace of God can begin to touch you. It's really not hard. It's very simple, and it's easy to overlook. That's why tonight, as we share some of these thoughts about really, have you taken time just to find out who you really are? We're not going to dwell in it. We're not going to stay there. We're not going to just find out who we are and then say, oh, this is, I guess, who I am for life. No, no, there is a wonderful grace to help you, to encourage you, to empower you, and to influence your life to experience so much more of God than what you have been experiencing. It's the openness in your heart and mind that allows that grace to actually infiltrate your life. So I want to encourage you with that, with what BJ just said, some of those examples from this weekend about healing. In both of those examples, I never even touched the people. It wasn't my prayer. It wasn't my hands touching them that did that. It was totally their own heart and their own mind taking a moment, a split second, to open their thoughts to the fact maybe it's not really what I just said it is. And instantly God moved upon their life.
You remember that email that we got that we weren't sure what they meant by how they feel bad about themselves?
Right.
They just sent me a Facebook message that says that we nailed it right on the head, what they were feeling like and thought of.
Okay, good.
I just thought I'd let you know.
Well, you know, I want to read a scripture that'll go along with that right now. It's over in 1 John in chapter 3, and around verse 18, it talks about practicing real love. And then it says, verse 19, this is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. In other words, in the King James, it talks about if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And verse 21 says, and friends, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch out our hands and receive what we ask. So, what is the end game in what we're talking about tonight?
Well, the moment we really begin to come to terms with ourselves, something most people don't want to really do, that's when God literally begins to take over your heart. That's when the condemnation and all those feelings begin to dissipate, and that's when you begin to build confidence in your relationship with God. Everything we're sharing tonight and everything we have always shared is so that people can have a greater tangible relationship with the Lord.
And remember, folks, it's hard to acknowledge God when you don't acknowledge yourself. You have to come to terms with who you are inside, your soul, your spirit, that divine spark, whatever name you want to give it, that's what we're talking about here. And think about what that means, because there are certain parts of Scripture that we really throw out there on a weekly basis because they're kind of overlooked as the significant. The message is never really stated to the level that it should be. Now think about that Scripture that talks about if you're going to look at somebody wrongly, pluck your eye out. If you're going to say something bad about somebody, cut your tongue out. If you're going to steal, cut your hand off. And they're not talking about afterwards if you get caught by the police. They're not talking about destroy your body while you're doing it. They're talking about how you should do these things
right
to yourself when you have those thoughts and feelings so that they never come to pass.
It's a means of correction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a way of saying, look, it's better for you to destroy your body than to use your body in a sinful way. Now, if that's truly the case, then that means that if we're being judged not how we look, but on how we act and how we live our lives, then that means we have to come to terms with what we've done and what we're doing and what we're planning on doing. That you have to go inside yourself to the root system. It doesn't do any good if you have dandelions in your lawn to just mow your lawn. The dandelions come back and they spread when their seeds when the wind carries their seeds. The only way you get rid of a weed in your garden is to what? Pull the roots out. To address the foundation of the problem. How do you expect to go to heaven? How do you expect to have a prayer answered? How do you expect to have a conversation with the guys if you don't acknowledge that fundamental issue? Now, we had that person that emailed the show that said, I don't deserve anything from God. I've done terrible things in the past. Well, they've acknowledged the root system. They're just kind of spinning their wheels, focusing on it. They don't realize that once they acknowledge that the root system is a weed and that they've done wrong, that once they eliminate that, then they can sow the seeds of something positive.
Yeah.
And yeah. So they've done the hard part. Now the easy part is to wake up tomorrow and say, new day, new direction, new way of looking at myself, new way of looking at the world, a new way of living.
Right. Yeah.
And every day it becomes easier. You just don't go to bed one night at 200 pounds and wake up at 400 pounds. You get that way because every day you eat more and more and more. And your reality becomes more food, more meals, bigger meals, more higher calorie and carbohydrate food. And all of a sudden, you start to gain that extra 200 pounds slowly but surely. It doesn't come off that easy because it didn't get on that way that easy. So give yourself a break. You just didn't wake up one morning as a child and say, I'm going to be bad. I'm going to be bad every day, and every day is going to be badder than the last. No, It's just a slow progression of choices and decisions and environment that you live in. Well, it's the same way with the guys in Christianity. It's a slow process of change, and then all of a sudden, one day, it's turbocharged. It's like being in a sailboat adrift because there's no wind. And all of a sudden, there's a gust of wind, and the sails are full of wind, and you're flying. You're skimming across the water at a high rate of speed. And that's because you've chosen the path correctly, that's now your reality, and now there's room for grace.
Yeah.
And grace can come in.
Yeah, good.
Let's see if we got any emails or text messages. We don't have any emails or text messages. Okay. We don't have one email, not one text message.
Well, maybe some will come in while I read this here. I'll give them just a couple of minutes for them to come in. Over in Philippians 3 and verse 7, just to give some scripture that validates what BJ was talking about, Paul over here says the very credentials these people are waving around as something special I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I used to take credit for. And why? Because of Christ. All these things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. Notice that embracing Christ took Paul letting go of everything that he had and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes with keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. And then this is a real good part here, verse 10. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. And to me, that goes along with what BJ was talking about. It's not about acknowledging who you were, recognizing the self that you were, and then staying there. It's about going on now, letting God begin to move you on to greater things. He says, I gave up that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, and be a partner in his sufferings, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any other way to get in on the resurrection of the dead, I wanted to do it. And he said, I'm not saying that I have it all together or that I've made it, but I'm well on my way reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. I think that's a real good scripture. Helps us to see that Paul also recognized who he was, where he came from, and that's really the empowerment that allowed him to begin to let go of it and go on.
Folks, if you want to text the show, the way you text the show is, first word you type is the word grace. Then you type out your comment or question. When you press the send button, you press 69302. Turn that fan on over there, would you?
Yeah, it's a little warm, isn't it?
69302 is the number that you send it to. On email, you can email the show. It's the name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Are you going to be at the library tomorrow night?
I am. Yeah, we had a problem last week with the weather, and the library was closed at around, probably by about 11 o'clock in the morning. The library closed. All the libraries in Tulsa closed, so we didn't have our meeting last night, but this Wednesday we'll be there. Looking forward to any of you showing up or getting on with us on the live stream on jimhockaday.com, and go to the live stream, and at 7 o'clock, we'll be live until 8 o'clock Central Time.
And how do they get to the stream? By accessing what?
Yeah, they just access jimhockaday.com, the website, and down at the right-hand corner of the website, you'll see there's a button that says Live Stream.
Hi. How's it going? What are you doing? Oh. Ranger, what's up? She's just looking at me. You don't have anything to say? Nothing to say, Ranger? What is it? What's out there? What? What are you... What? There you go. At least you said something to people. Let them know you're in here. Okay, folks. Now, it's time for some emails and some text messages about your thoughts about yourself and how tonight's show, what it's doing to you. And what kind of spur is it? What's it sparking in you to think about things?
You don't have to elaborate, but just give us a little idea of what you've been listening to for the last hour, and let us know about how and where you are in your thoughts right now, as you kind of get introspective. Because there's many ways that tonight's message could be messing with you. You could take it in the wrong context and just beat yourself up and be so discouraged, and you say, "Ah, I'll never get to heaven. I'll never have a prayer answered. I'll never have a conversation with the guys. I just won't. And organized religion and negative energy loves it when people give up. They love it when they think that it's something, it's just a mountain you can't climb. It's just a bridge too far for you to cross. Because it's really just the opposite. The energy that it takes to feel bad is about 100 times more energy than what's needed to tap into the grace that you were born in.
Right.
You just need to understand that. You need to understand the dynamics of what Scripture is referring to and talking about.
Yeah, I want to explain by an example of working with someone and some things that I said and what happened in the course of their healing. And there was a person here, within this last year, 2014, but not too far back. And I was working with them, and they had some really bad internal situations, and I was ministering to them, and before I prayed, I asked this person, I said, "So if you read a book, sit down to read a book, do you finish it, or do you just read half of it and then put it down?" And they just kind of chuckled and laughed and said, "Oh, I never finish a book, I just start it and I always put them down." And then because of that, I said to this person, I said, "Well, you know, you might need to be a little bit more demonstrative in what you believe about God." And they said, "Well, why?" I said, "Well, because maybe the habit that you have in reading a book is part of the habit that you have about how you do life. Maybe you never finish anything. Maybe it's just the way you do. And God's going to touch you right here, but maybe you'll just let go of it and not stay the course." And I said, "I want to see you live the rest of your life without this." Well, I ministered to them and prayed with them. And for a whole week, their body was completely healed, wonderfully healed. I mean, everything changed. And just like you snap your finger, this person went right back to the same way that they were as they were sick. And all the symptoms came right back on them. And they began to spin their wheels just like I thought it's possible that they would. And that became for me a real teaching tool to show that these things that we're talking about, it's real necessary. This isn't about digging up dirt. It's just beginning to recognize how you do life. Because in how you do life is how you'll do faith. It's how you'll do your relationship with God, whether it'll progress or whether you'll have an experience. And one experience with God, 15 years ago is what you're going to hang your hat on. And you don't want the responsibility, so to speak, to have an experience with God every day. So while you lift your hands and worship God in a service and sing a song that says how much you love the Lord, the way you do life isn't conducive for you to actually enjoy Him and love Him every single day, because it's just more of a once in a while type of proposition that you want. These are the kind of things that we're addressing tonight, because for every single one of us, a relationship with God is right there at the tip of our fingers. God's made it that way through Christ, so that we wouldn't have to do the biggest part of the work. Jesus did the biggest part of the work. We get to actually enjoy His labor. But to do so, it means opening up your heart for God to actually move upon your heart. And that's what we're doing tonight. So I trust that it's helping. Over here in Galatians and chapter 6 and verse 4, the scripture here says, "But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
And so again, the thought there is examining yourself, looking on the inside, understanding who you are and how you relate to God. That's what's going to begin to move your relationship forward.
We got a message that came in literally right now. It says, hello, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. We are new listeners from Greenville, Ohio. Really enjoying your show. We are having fun archiving the show also. Thanks for keeping it real and simple. And this is from Kip and Terry Ann.
Oh, good. Thanks, Kip and Terry Ann.
You know, Ohio is where I get my feed sacks from.
Oh, okay. You mean for the nubs?
Central Ohio Burlap and Bag Company.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know what town they're located in, but it's the Central Ohio Burlap and Bag Company.
Good, good.
Okay. Looks like we got another email here. It says, coming in loud and clear here in North Carolina, guys. Got time for a question? When I started noticing more of what Grace is doing right now, I realized for the first time ever that most of my thoughts had been either past or future. It felt really different to spend more time in the present. Was there a time when you started living more in the present and less in the past or future? This is from good old Mulligan Tim.
Okay. Well, for me, you know, I don't live too much in the past. I mean, I guess I've never really had too much of a hang-up with that. My personality is real given to real, like, creative and real given to a dreamer and someone that's always looking forward. Real optimist is part of just my makeup. And so for me to grab a hold of thoughts that God has, like some of the things that the Apostle Paul would say, thoughts that God has about me through Christ has always really captivated my thinking, my goal. It produces goals. It gives me something to actually reach forward and attain. And that is this place in Christ, this relationship with God. So for me, I've never really been one to look to the past. How about you, BJ? Have you?
I like history because it's a way of seeing what worked and what didn't work. And so I don't dwell on my own personal history, but I always keep it handy as a resource. So that when I come across something or a place where I think there's a serious decision to be made, or a certain chain of events are occurring, I can say, you know, the last time it went like this, I didn't do very well. I think it's important to respect history and to remember it, but not to haunt you and not it to drag you down.
Mm-hmm.
So that you don't repeat it, so you don't repeat the bad stuff, and the next time the good stuff comes around, you know that it's fleeting, and you can enjoy it more and enhance it more.
You know, I will say this, that Tim, I know this is your question, I will say this, with all the time that I've invested in renewing my thinking toward who I am in Christ, some of those thoughts, areas where I find myself not making the progress that I should. You know, the things that BJ and I have been talking about, I found myself now reflecting on some of them, and I actually can see reasons why I haven't, in some areas, moved forward as fast as I should. And, you know, unless I was presented with some of the type of things that we talk about and share on the show, it's real possible I would have glossed over a lot of those things. Not to bring them up to dwell there and stay there, but to see some patterns and habits of weakness that I've never addressed so that God could actually get in and begin to do some things in my life. And, you know, you can sometimes take some of the wonderments of Christ and talk about them, think about them, endeavor to work on them. But if there's areas where you're not moving forward, you need to stop for a moment and ask yourself the question why. And so I found that that's been real helpful for me.
Well, just to let everybody know, there are skunks in the Netherlands. I'm on the Welcome to the Dutch Skunk Foundation site.
Wow.
The Dutch Skunk Foundation and their volunteers apply themselves to educate people about domestic skunks as pets and offer shelter for those skunks that need a new home for whatever reason. It is possible the foundation will try to be present at animal events and at animal welfare organizations. The foundation is now state-aided and depends fully on the efforts of volunteers, gifts, donations, and the little bit of money that comes in through adoptions. So that's what they're doing with skunks in the Netherlands. It's a state organization.
That's pretty interesting.
I think it is. And people are probably wondering, where does he get this from? We're talking about Jesus, and now we're talking about skunks in the Netherlands. See, folks, we solve all your problems.
Yeah.
Do you have some scripture for him?
I do. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to read this a couple of different ways here, okay? So I'm going to read it in the King James Version and then in the Message Version. But it's over here in 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is really, really good. We've read it before. It fits right here perfectly. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now in the Message Bible it says this, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. I like that part right there. You need first-hand evidence. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. And I hope the test won't show that we have failed, but if it comes to that, we'd rather the test showed our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. You know, let me share this observation. This is my observation here, my opinion of what I see from Scripture. And that is, the subject matter that we're sharing tonight, I feel like, is extremely important. It was a few weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, that we did touch a little bit on this when we made some of the assertions, and BJ did that. I actually used it the following day on a Wednesday night, and it ended up becoming one of the best sellers for, you know, the little CD that my mom sometimes will sell afterwards so people can get, you know, a recording. But he made the comment and said, you know, who are you really? You know, are you is it the person you are in front of, let's say, an employer, the person you are in front of your spouse, the person you are or the person you show yourself to be in front of your kids, and so on and so on. Of course, one of the biggies is, are you the person that you show yourself to be at a religious service? Because the real person that you are is the one that gets the prayers answered. And if that's not the person that's got his hands up in the air saying, Lord, I love you, well, then the person you show yourself to be at a religious service is not going to get a prayer answered. And this was really, really thought-provoking. And my scripture shows some of these thoughts here tonight. But I wanted to add on to this thought. Paul is all about, once you come to grips with who you are and let God begin to work in your heart, like BJ made a comment earlier, it's time to move on and then begin to see yourself connected to God. See yourself connected to Christ and His strength and His ability. And realize you don't have to be that way again, and begin to make choices according to your heart's connection with God. You know, this whole idea of making a connection with the Lord, We're really, even though we're talking about it a lot, I find people make it so difficult, so hard. They don't trust in how simple a connection with God can be. And BJ, I don't know if you want to talk about or comment about that, but I find it to happen in the churches I go to when I get down to actually ministering to people healing. You can see people coming up that are just straining as though it's a muscular thing, as though it's a physical thing that you grab a hold of something and strain in order to get God to heal you. You can see them working on it, straining, trying to get healed. And God will have me so many times just help them to relax. Say something off the wall. Say something ridiculous I know that they're dealing with all kinds of symptoms, but just ask them a simple question. Maybe you don't really have the symptoms that you thought. And for a second, their mind just opens up and God's able to touch them. A connection was never supposed to be difficult.
No, and it's not supposed to take somebody else to help them.
That's correct.
The fact that someone needs somebody else to be closer to God, the fact that somebody needs somebody else to have a prayer answered, the fact that somebody else feels they need someone to help them to be healed is an indicator that they don't get Scripture. They're not getting the point of
right.
of the individual relationship.
Yeah, it's failure, actually.
And that's part of the problem is people think they need to listen to someone, they need to go somewhere, they need to be a part of something, or it isn't going to happen, or that's not the way it works. And that's just a complete wrong message of Scripture. Think about it. One of the most important passages in Scripture is, when you pray, go in your room and close the door.
Right.
And when you pray in private, your Father will answer you in private.
Yeah.
Where in any of that does it say prayer group, Bible
right.
study, Sunday school, TV show, radio show like this one? Where does it shows the individual communication between a child and its father?
Yeah, it's good.
Think of it this way. What would you think if somebody knocked on your door and said, the next time you want to talk to your children, you've got to go through me? There's a knock on your door and it says, yeah, the next time you want to talk to your mom and dad, tell me what you want to say. And I'll do it for you. You'd say, you're crazy. It's none of your business. Get out of my way. Well, why do we have such defense mechanisms? Why do we have such bravery and commitment to not allow that, but yet we bend over backwards and get weak and allow someone to control how we worship, when we worship, and the effectiveness of our worship?
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me.
Right.
It's just crazy.
But it's learned behavior, and that's the...
Well, it's been passed down from generation to generation, from country to country,
right.
from century to century. We're talking about literally 2,000 years of wrong directions.
Right.
And after 2,000 years, not only is it wrong, but it has a... Well... It's 2,000 years old. How could it be wrong? Nothing that old could be wrong.
You know, if you look at some of the absolute statements of Christ, over there in John chapter 10, Jesus, verses 1 through 5, Jesus made the comment. He said, my sheep know me. My sheep recognize me. They follow me. And the voice of a stranger, they do not know. Now, notice Jesus didn't say, my sheep are going to know me. My sheep, I hope, will know me. He said, they do. They know me, they hear me, and they follow me. I like how Jesus talks because what he's sharing with us is how simple this really is to know him. That it starts out that wonderful spark of God's love and grace that comes into your heart through Christ. You do know him. There is a connection. And that connection is waiting on your response. And I trust that what you're hearing tonight is helping you to maybe relax and enjoy the connection that we have in Christ.
We got an email here. It says, "Hello, fellas and Ranger. Really enjoying the show tonight. Definitely hitting home base for me. My wife and I are in the process of learning to surrender our lives to Christ in every way, not just in the areas that we feel most comfortable giving up. As we've been very prone in the past, and it's making all the difference in our walk with the guys. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend, Jim. BJ, my wife and I both agreed that you should come as well, so we'll see you there. Great show, guys. Julian and Patricia."
That's nice.
You've never invited me to go. We got another email here. This is from Christine in Nebraska. It says, "Hi, Ranger and co-hosts. Enjoyed a lovely 77-degree day here today. It was awesome. Tonight and the last couple shows have been really great and a big help. I know for me that initially when I started to uncover some stuff I didn't realize was there, it was kind of not fun. Coming from a Word of Faith spin cycle that really focused on your confession can really be a hindrance, because then you just concentrate on saying things right instead of listening." Okay, we got another email here that says, "Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Great stuff tonight, fellas. You are both right on the mark. You two always keep the show interesting. Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida." They sent an email. They usually text. And, okay, just to let people know, because we've got the Millet family in Trinidad listening to the show tonight.
Right.
Tonight's forecast for the South Pole, minus 44 degrees, mostly cloudy. It'll feel like minus 73 degrees, 12-mile-an-hour wind from the north-northeast, 64% humidity, dew point minus 52 degrees. Visibility 4 miles, 15% chance of precipitation. And when it's when it feels like 73 degrees below zero, the precipitation will be snow or ice. And just to let you know, the rest of the week, tomorrow, minus 44 during the day, minus 40, 41 at night, minus 44 during the day, and minus 42 on Thursday. Then we have a little bit of a heat wave on Saturday. It's only minus 48. Well, it gets a little colder. And then it's down to minus 42. But watch out, folks, in Trinidad. 2 weeks from this weekend, minus 64, minus 70, minus 59 degrees towards the latter part of this month. So you folks in Trinidad, dress warm. Socks and underwear required. There you go, folks. Weather report for the South Pole. And remember, folks, you heard it here first. And now a word from our sponsor.
Really?
Oh. Well, what do you think about the show tonight?
Well, I think it's simple, but I think it's right to the point. Kind of like I like it. And I'm just trusting that people are taking it to heart. I think it's a very important subject. I think it's a subject that can help maybe, like taking the break off, you know, emergency break off, cause people to lurch forward in their experiencing God.
I hope that somebody from tonight's show, over the rest of the week, I mean, today's the 10th of March 2015, so I hope somebody later this week, Friday or Saturday, when it's like the 13th or 14th, they look back at tonight and they say, this was a turning point for me. Not a big turning point, but I'm headed down the right road.
Right.
It's like they finally realized they've been taking the long way to get somewhere. And so they found that shortcut, they changed highways, and after a few miles, they know that this is the right road they should be on.
Okay.
I think that would be good. One or two people, that I think that would be kind of good.
Yeah.
And folks, you might think we're 25 minutes into the show, but we're really not. We're an hour and 25 minutes. Here in the central part of the United States of America, every spring, we do a time change. The clocks change forward an hour. And in the fall, we go back. And so for a lot of you, you logged on 25 minutes ago waiting for an entire night show. And in reality, we've already been on the air for an hour and 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, because the show streams 24/7. You can pick it up while it does it this week, or you can check it out on the archives page. But remember, we've had a time change. And some European countries change time.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know if the Netherlands does, but I know that there are certain Western European countries that they change their clocks in the spring, too.
You know, our subject tonight has so much to do with people being all the way in, doesn't it?
Well, what you mean by all the way in is really having a commitment.
Yeah, but that's part of it for me. I mean, the fact that we can, you know, it's true. It's so easy to smooth over things, and we've done it maybe all our lives so much so that when it comes to God, it's real easy to smooth over things that we know that we need to just open up and let God have. And that's part of what we're not all in it with, is all in with the idea that when we came to Christ, we really, literally changed. We're not the same person anymore. And we can't go down the same roads and think the same way that we used to think, that we're a new creature in Christ. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. And the verse 16 says in the Amplified, from here on out, you can't judge yourself or come to a conclusion or come to an opinion about yourself according to your flesh. From the moment you come into Christ, the person you were that's attached to the flesh and attached to the world, that person's gone. It's time for, and you don't have to reinvent yourself, it's time for you to allow God to literally do something in your life that's real. So I feel like tonight, the message that we're talking about is another step toward people, giving people an opportunity to get all the way in, where it's not about 50% in, but I don't really want to go all the way in for God because then I might have to, you know, be totally a church person, quote unquote. Listen, this isn't about that. This is an individual journey for yourself and how much of God you really would love to experience on a daily basis. And the sad thing is religion's painted this picture so badly that most people would run from a daily basis relationship with God because they think it's weird. They think it's not relevant to our day. And yet there's nothing more relevant to the day we live in than having God in your life on a regular basis.
Well, folks, we're getting towards the end of the show. There's still plenty of time to send us a text or an email, so make sure that you take advantage of that. One thing to consider about tonight's broadcast is really think about the last couple of years, how you've looked at yourself and your behavior. I'm not talking about really bad things, but the little things. Because, I mean, if you're stealing cars for a living, or you're selling drugs, or you're blowing your paycheck at an Indian casino, or you're drinking yourself to sleep every night, well, it's pretty obvious you need a change. And it's pretty easy to see what's in your way from the guys. But I'm talking about the majority of listeners of this show who worry about your credit rating. You want to pay your bills on time.
Yeah.
You're worried about looking nice in public, and you try to be a good neighbor, and you try to help people when you can, and you've realized how blessed you are and how good your life is going. Those are the people that have those hidden roadblocks. Because as good as you are, when you look at people that are really bad, it can be kind of mystifying. You'll look at them and you say, I understand why that person can't be healed. I understand why that person doesn't have God in their life. Look at the choices they've made in their life. Look at the decisions. Look at their actions. Look how they live. Look how they treat people. It's real easy to see why they don't have grace. And then in the same breath, they say, but me, I am so different. I am so trying. I'm the complete other end of the spectrum, yet I don't have grace either. And it's perplexing. Especially if you really start to question Scripture and say, hey, I like what you're saying here, guys, but why isn't it happening? Where's mine? Well, you were born with it. But you have to really, really come to terms with who you are and the actions and thoughts and feelings that you have.
That's good.
To really see what needs to change. And that's humbling. I mean, and it's not things you want to share. It isn't because they're really bad or that you're going to be arrested and prosecuted or that your friends and family are going to disown you. It's just that once you come to terms with those hidden little peccadilloes, those little inconsistency, those roadblocks, those distractions, part of it is going to be that you can't believe something like that you haven't acknowledged and you haven't corrected. And part of it's going to be just a little embarrassment and humiliation because all this time you didn't deal with it. But don't get hung up on that. Be grateful that you can and that you have and that you are doing something with it, about it, to change it. Because then that is where grace comes in and says, hey, how are you? Nice to see you again. Haven't seen you since the day you were born. Let me do this for you. Welcome home.
Like it. Yep, yep. I like it. I'm going to read just a couple of scriptures, I think, here toward the end. Just listen to this. This is a great passage here that just helps us to see the work that Jesus did, the condemnation that once and for all is gone, something that Christ did for us we couldn't do for ourselves, and turning our face toward him, repenting, the whole idea of just beginning to look on the inside and discovering who we are so that we can let God begin to take over. Listen to these scriptures. It says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, the fateful dilemma is resolved. In other words, the condemnation. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his Son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the distorted mass of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. But those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession in self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person who ignores God is, and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. Folks, this is a wonderful time for all of us. As you begin to look on the inside and see who you really are,
to begin to now identify with what God has done for us and the grace of God that's there for us so you can actually connect to it all day long. There's no time to let things that you have not been willing to acknowledge hold you back any longer. Everything that Jesus did through everything that God did, excuse me, through Christ is available for us tonight, even today, for people to begin to experience. So I trust that this time that we've had has opened up your heart and opened up your mind. And believe it or not, that's really just about all you need to make a connection with God.
You ready to say something to music?
I am. Tonight, our desire is for you to just take one more step toward the Lord in allowing what He's done for you to be real in your life. My prayer is that God would be so real to you that you really lose, if you will, the desire for the other things of this world and this life that have been real. I pray tonight that everyone listening to us would open up your eyes, do an examination, and then just let God take off in your life and experience Him. It can be that real and it can be that simple. And we pray for this tonight for you and for everyone listening. Amen.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think those that have been listening for a long time, I think they jump on this really quickly and begin to possibly process it and get ready to use it. I'm just trusting to some of those that are listening tonight for the first time. I think we had a couple listeners that said through email that this was their first night with us. I trust that they enjoyed it as well.
We got an email that came in 5 minutes ago. It'll probably be the last one for the night. It says, touching on that verse Jim read in Corinthians concerning testing yourself for faith, would you mind giving some examples on how to test yourself? This is from Julian and Patricia.
Well, testing yourself to see has everything to do with, do you have any testimonies? Do you have evidence of God's grace in your life? In other words, can you recognize God on a regular basis? Do you see Him in your life? Do you see His evidence in your life? And so when you're testing yourself, you're asking yourself the bigger or the harder questions. Am I in the way? Do I really believe this? Am I connecting with God? Is God real? Do I hear God's voice? Because if you find yourself saying, I really don't, that's where you need to make your adjustments. That's where you need to be honest with yourself. Do you have another answer?
No, yours is pretty good. I like it. Folks, remember, tomorrow night at the Hardesty Library, and can they watch it on Facebook?
Go to jimhockaday.com, and the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see that there's a live stream button, and that's how you can watch it on Facebook.
All right, folks. Well, welcome to all the new listeners, and remember that we've had a time change here in the central part of the United States of America. Thanks for all the emails and text messages. Welcome to all the new listeners. And Ranger, what do you want to say? What? Ranger. Okay. And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards, that always gets her. Good night, everybody.
Good night.